appreciate you joining us for this video, for this attempt at a video. We had originally considered doing something with Facebook Live, but considering our lack of time to be able to pull that off, we decided just to record a video for you and be able to provide it to you that you'll have the opportunity to participate in some form of worship this weekend. I hope you'll take all precautions to stay safe and quarantined as much as possible so that we can gather in person next week again. This morning, as we get started, as we've been doing for the last few weeks, let's just take a moment and let me encourage you this morning to go ahead and cut off anything else around you. Get out your Bible, sing along, and let's try as much as possible to make it a worship service this morning. So let's just take a moment of silence, just to kind of focus ourselves and kind of get ready for a unique worship experience this morning. Psalms, the fifth psalm. We've been starting our service with a psalm, beginning in the first verse of the fifth psalm. The Bible says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak. Listen, the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, for thankful for your perfect timing. This morning, as we consider this psalm, as you say in your word, God, as the psalmist cries out for you to hearken unto his cry. God, we come to you on behalf of some 250,000 around this world that have been diagnosed with this virus, God, so many in our own nation now coming into our own community. God, families dealing with sickness and ultimately many dealing with death. God, when we come to you this morning confessing our sinfulness, God, we pray that even through an event like this, God, we might see your hand. As Joseph said to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God has meant for good. God, while some may look at this outbreak and see the evil, and certainly there's pain and suffering, God, we're praying that even through this, we might see revival. We might see your people, Father, convicted. God, that perhaps these times where we're being shut out of our churches, Lord, that we'll be able to see people's hearts broken and they realize how desperately they need to be in your house worshiping. And so, Lord, as we prepare this this video, this service this evening, God, I just pray that you would speak even through the internet, God, that hearts would be touched and lives changed, and God, that you would use this as a time of worship to change us. And we'll give you the honor for what you do, for which in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Archie's going to come and lead you in a song. And most of you probably don't have a hymnal in your home, but I believe you will know the words and be able to sing along. Fighting over a roll of toilet paper, but it seems like what is important has changed dramatically in the last 7 days. Hopefully some folks have realized how important the opportunity, the freedom we have to be able to worship, how important that is to it's a lot of times like when the power's off or the water's off, you walk through the house and you keep flipping the light switch, you realize just how important electricity is when it's not there. And so this morning I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you this question. What's in the box? I read the story. Some of you are old enough. Some of you, since you're watching my video, go ahead and Google it. New Coke. Some of you, again, are old enough, you can live through that fiasco. I don't know why you mess with Coke or apple pie or baseball, but they decided on one occasion to create New Coke. Those of you who are old enough to remember that, remember that it was pretty much a disaster. It failed just horribly. And so the big wheels at Coca-Cola, as the story goes, got together and started having a meeting and discussing exactly the problem, what happened. And they called in a consultant by the name of Mike Cammy. And Cammy came in to this meeting of the Coca-Cola executives, and he asked them that question. He said, "What's in the box?" And they, as you can imagine, looked at him like he was out of his mind. And he said, "Okay, let me explain to you what I mean by that statement, what's in the box." Told him, he asked me, he said, "What I mean by that is, what is the mainspring?" Again, some of you not old enough to remember watches with mainsprings in them. But what is the mainspring? What drives the Coca-Cola company? What drives the name, the brand? What makes Coca-Cola tick? And the executives put their heads together and they finally came up and they told Cammy the answer to that question, what makes Coca-Cola tick, is great taste. Great taste. And that was what made things go. And so they had conducted all types of tests, as you can imagine, before they would do something as dramatic as try to rebrand, remake an iconic thing like Coca-Cola. And they were convinced that the new Coke tasted better, that it was an important thing. And so they went ahead with the idea of new Coke. After the failure, they called Cammy back in, and he said, "Obviously, you put the wrong thing in the box. It's obviously not great taste that makes Coca-Cola tick. So you need to go back, and you need to think it over." And as they did, they came back and they said, "What makes Coca-Cola who we are is we are an American tradition. We are, the shape of the bottle, everything, the cursive writing, the taste, everything about us, we are an American tradition." And even though most agreed in blind tests that the new Coke tasted better, Coca-Cola had, by changing that formula, messed with American tradition. They had messed with something that had been around. Everybody that was living, that always known Coca-Cola. And so by doing that, they had messed with something that was an American tradition. And so they went back, and when they put basically the right word in the box, that it's American tradition, they realized that the main thing they had going for them was tradition. And so they, as most of you know today, you can't find a new Coke. They went back and all you see is regular Coca-Cola, because that's tradition. The lettering's the same, the shape of the bottle, everything is the same. American tradition is the same. And the events of this week, I think, have led all of us kind of to think that same thing. What's in the box? What is really important to us? What really matters? little more spiritual version of that story. Some of you have heard me talk about Bob Buford before. Bob Buford, his mother owned the first television franchise in Texas and eventually turned into a huge cable enterprise. As he got older, he began to feel that there was something else God wanted him to be doing. And so he too contacted Cammie. Cammie asked him that question, what's in the box? And after he wrestled with it a little bit, he came back and he said, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what's in the box. He is what drives me, what is most important to me. And so he said, okay, then what do you need to do because of that? Long story short, Buford sells his cable franchise and devotes the rest of his life to ministry. A even more spiritual application of that is our text this morning in John chapter 21, verse 15. Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And most of you know the story, very familiar story, but he asked Peter that question, lovest thou me more than these? In a sense, long before the executives at Coca-Cola or Bob Buford or anyone else had asked that question, Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, what's in the box? Peter, what's most important to you? What is making you go? What causes you to tick? And so this morning I want us to think about that question ourselves this morning. Again, I think some of the things that have this virus that we have all dealt with this week has caused us to think about what's really important and what isn't. You know, a few weeks ago, there probably wasn't too many of us giving much thought to how much toilet paper we had on store, or how much bread we had, or even the availability of those items. It was just something that wasn't important to us. All of a sudden, it seems to be extremely important in our culture. Life has a way of doing that. And this morning, as you listen, watch by video on the internet, I want you to think about that question yourself. What's in the box? What is important to you? What is it that really makes you go? So in John chapter 21, in our text this morning in verse 15, again, Peter is sitting there and Jesus asking that question, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And so the first thing I want you to notice about this text and this question, as Jesus in the vernacular I'm using this morning asked Peter, what's in the box? Lovest thou me more than these? There is an investigation. As he asked this question, Christ is investigating, but he's challenging Peter as well. Peter, look inside. Look inside. Just as those executives at Coca-Cola, just as Bob Buford had to wrestle with that question, what is in the box? What's most important? Jesus puts the pot on Peter. What is most important? Peter, what do you love me more than these? And the important thing I want you to notice about that question, again, is Scripture, if we read it, tells us that there were some of the other disciples that were gathered there too. They were not alone. Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, there were other disciples there. And perhaps when Jesus said to Simon, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Maybe James or John or Nathaniel, maybe one of them stuck up their hand and said, oh, I can answer that. I can give you the answer to that. And probably they could. They probably watched Peter enough that they knew. The truth is most people, others know us better than we know ourselves. They know things about us sometimes that we don't even realize that they know. And so Jesus takes and he turns the spotlight inward on Peter. He says, I'm not asking James, I'm not asking John, I'm not asking Nathaniel, I'm not asking Thomas. Peter, do you love me more than these? This morning the question is not for your mother. The question is not for your spouse or your children. While they could probably answer the question, The question this morning before us is, who do you love? What's in the box? What drives you? Peter, do you love me more than these? There are a lot of people that could step forward. Peter was not a bashful guy. We read in the Gospels how Peter's a very outspoken young man. Peter often, we say sometimes, speaks before he thinks, it seems. And so I'm sure there were a lot of people who had formed an opinion of Peter. But the reality was, it didn't matter. Their opinion is not all that important at this point. Their opinion that doesn't really change things. The question for Peter was, Peter, I am asking you. I am looking at you, man to man, eyeball to eyeball, and I'm asking you, do you love me more than anything else? As great, great expositors have done over the years, you're familiar with this text, they have taken, we know that Jesus asked Peter the question three different times, and they have taken and they have expounded the Greek of all three words and that are used for love, and there's some meat there, I won't deny that, but I'd like to point out to you, I think one of the things of the repetition is not just the difference of the words, but the fact that he asked the question three times. I've always been taught if Jesus says something once, it's very important. If he says it twice, then you really better pay attention. But if he says it three times, how much more important is something that Jesus repeats three times? And so three times he's stressing, I think, to Peter here how important it is for him to answer that question. This morning, I want you to know that every person here, you're at some point going to have to answer that question. You're going to have to answer that question either standing before God, but the ideal situation will be to answer that question right here and right now. To answer that question right now, who do I love most? And so the first thing we have here is Jesus turning that searchlight on, this investigation. Second thing we have in this little question is not only an investigation, but an implication. Jesus, I want you to, you know, many times what when we read the Bible, it's as important what isn't said, it's just as important as what is said. Jesus asked the question, lovest thou me more than these? And so as he looks at this, one of the things that he never says to Peter is, do you love me most? He never says, you must love me the most. He simply asked Peter, do you? Do you? He doesn't say, all right, Peter, from this day forward, I demand that you love me most. But he says, today, right now, I want to know your answer to that question. Do you love me most? Listen, when he thinks about that question, just as with Coca-Cola, if what's most important is great taste, then you go forward with the new formula that you believe is better. If Bob Buford says that Christ is in the box, he is most important, then there are some decisions he has to make to govern his life. Peter, do you love me more than these? Well, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. You see what happens there? There are implications of whatever you put in the box. You and I both know there are a multitude of people who, if they were honest, they would say that what is most important, what's in their box, is money and power. And we also know that the implication of that is that when we put money and power in the box, when it is the thing that is the most important, there are implications of that decision. Those who put money and power in the box, not all,
But many, most, if you put money and power in the box, you will lie, cheat, steal, slander, whatever it takes to get more money, more power. You've seen it on the work, at the workplace. We've seen it in politics. If money and power are the primary priority in your life, your life will be governed by that. If your family is your priority, and you're asked to work extra hours or overtime, you'll say, no, I can't do it. I'm going to my kid's ball game or whatever. Whatever we say is most important will ultimately govern our life. Peter, if you say Christ is the most important, then feed my sheep. There are implications to whatever you put in the box. There are, perhaps a better word would be ramifications. There are consequences, there are results of whatever we make the priority in our life. We see today, unfortunately for some people, priority is to stockpile toilet paper. And because of that, they are fighting in the aisles. They are, knocking down little old ladies. They are paying ridiculous prices for toilet paper. It's only a matter of time, in my opinion, before we see somebody shot or stabbed over a pack of toilet paper. It has become a priority, therefore there are consequences, there are implications, there are ramifications. Whatever is most important, there will always be those implications. It will bring certain things out in our life. Whatever you put in the box is driving you. Let me tell you something. Every person here, some of you may, since you've been watching this video, you have been thinking to yourself, well, that's in the box. I don't believe I... Yes, you do. Every person, man, woman, boy, or girl, has something in the box. From the moment we're born, something is in the box. That small baby, pretty much one thing in the box. Feed me. Feed me. Feed me. As they get older, as children begin to be toddlers, what's in the box? Usually it says, gimme, gimme, gimme. For many people, it never changes. But every person who is listening, watching, hearing me this morning, there is something that drives you. The million dollar question, the eternal question, is it Jesus Christ? Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Then feed my sheep. If you're going to say Jesus Christ is what's in the box, Jesus Christ is the most important, Jesus Christ is what drives you, He is the driving factor in your life, then feed His sheep. Then there will be results, scripture term, we will bear fruit. There will be signs. And again, James, John, Nathaniel couldn't answer that question. Weren't asked that question, but I bet they had an opinion. Bet they had an opinion. So there is an investigation. There are implications. But then thirdly, I want you to notice there is an invitation. The last thing I want you to notice in this text, John chapter 21, verse 15 again. Jesus says to Peter, do you love me more than these? And he said, you know I do, Lord. And he says, feed my sheep. I want you to notice again one thing Jesus never said. Jesus said, never said, love me more than anything else. But he did ask Peter, what do you love most? What do you love most? Remember, again, there's implications to whatever you choose. Jesus wants to be in the box. Jesus needs to be in the box. Scripture says Jesus should be in the box. But the truth is this morning, He won't force Himself in. He allows us to have free will and to make a decision. He invites us to place Him at the center of our life. I don't like ordinarily to give Hollywood illustrations. Typically, you end up, it's easy to get in trouble talking about anything that comes out of Hollywood, it seems. But there's a story that I think is just too fitting and too good to share in this instance. There's an old movie. Some of you may remember it, maybe beyond some of you's time. But an old movie called City Slickers. Billy Crystal, the star of the movie. And Crystal and some of his friends decide to take a cowboy vacation. And so they go out west and they sign up to help to bring in the herd. And they ride along with the old Western hero, Jack Palance. I don't remember the characters' names in the movie, but they ride along and they get to be pretty good friends. And one day they're riding along and Crystal and Palance are going back and forth. And again, Crystal's the city slicker, as the name is called. And he's just trying to talk to Palance and kind of get some of the wisdom of his time on the trail, on the range. And as they have a fairly lengthy conversation, near the end, Crystal's character asks Palance, he says, "Well, tell me, what is the secret of life?" An old, grizzly, weathered cowboy Palance looks at him and he says, "One." He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "I mean one thing." He says, well, what is that one thing? And Palace looks at him and says, "You have to figure it out. You have to decide." This morning, I'm going to tell you, just like old Jack Palance, I'm not a cowboy by any stretch of the imagination, but I am going to tell you that the secret of life, everybody's looking for it. I'm going to give you something they try to sell you in the bookstore. I'm going to give it to you for free. The secret of life is one. Just one. One thing. It's the one thing you put in the box. It's the one thing you determine is most important. And again, I said it earlier, every one of us listening, myself included, we already have that one thing. Some intentionally chose it. Some it just kind of happened over time. We didn't mean for it to, but over time. And listen, that one thing could be a good thing. Some of those, for some people, the one thing is their children. For some people, it's their job, and there's nothing wrong with working and working hard and earning a living. For some people, it's their church. That's the one thing, and that's great. I encourage you, find a good church. That's not the most important thing. I'm going to help you more than Palance helped Crystal. Palance told Crystal, "There's one thing, and you got to go find it." I'm telling you this morning, there's one thing, and the one thing is Jesus. The one thing is Jesus. If you will put Jesus Christ at the center of your life, if you will make Him the mainspring, if you will put Him in that box, if you will make Him the center, the most important thing in your life, then can I tell you a little secret? All those other things that are important to you, they'll start falling in line. The job, the children, the marriage, everything else. When we put Jesus in the center, everything else falls into place. Jesus was talking to Peter, one of his disciples. Some of you listening to me this morning, watching my video, you're already a Christian. You know Christ. You know Him personally. You've been saved. But the truth is, you've lived your life. You're making your decisions with something else in the box. Christ is not really in the center of your life and your decisions. And so this morning, my challenge for you is, wherever you're listening, to stop what you're doing, to kneel, to pray, sit where you're at, or whatever, and you have a little conversation with God. And you tell him, Lord, I want to put you first and foremost. I want to put you in the center. I want to put you in the box of what's important in my life. What's most important? For most people who are going to be watching this video, Jesus is important. The question is he most important? Does he guide our decisions? Does he guide our choices, our actions, our attitudes? And then there's some of you this morning who have stumbled onto this video, perhaps by accident. This podcast, however you're listening, however you're watching. And the reality is, as you've listened this morning, you've realized, I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know this Jesus he's talking about. He's not the most important to me. Well, this morning I want to invite you, and you can do it right where you are. You don't have to be in a church. As a matter of fact, across the world today, you know, most churches that gather, most people, they don't gather in a building. They don't gather in a church building. They gather in homes. They gather under trees, wherever they can. Sitting in your living room, driving down the road in your car, you can ask Jesus Christ into your heart. You can invite him to cleanse you, to forgive you of your sin, and come in and be the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've done that this morning, if you'd like more information as this video closes, you're going to see our website information, you're going to see our address, you're going to see our phone number, you're going to see my email address. I invite you to contact me, contact this church. If you're local to Cabarrus County, if you're in this area, love to talk to you, love to explain more about it if you've got questions. If you're somewhere else, watching by video, watching through the internet, find a good church. If you need help, again, take that address, that contact information. Call me. Email me. I'll help you find a good church, a pastor, somebody that will take time and lovingly, carefully explain to you how Jesus can be number one in your life. Something is number one this morning. The eternal question is that number one Jesus Christ? Thank you.